Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life today at... Whoa, had a little static there. Huh? Okay, we okay, everybody? All right. Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are in Clearwater, Florida, and excited today about what God is going to do in this show today. It's going to be incredible and wonderful and a blessing. And I'm having headphone troubles here. I'm going ear to ear. Sorry, guys, everybody out there. We're going to get this straightened out. There we go. That's much better. All right. We're so glad that you're joining us. And as you can tell by me just commenting like that, we are always live on the air. That's where we are. So we're excited to be here in the studio today on this kind of rainy day in Clearwater, Florida. But a kind of a pleasant day. Connie over there, how are you, girl?
Oh, we had a good day today.
Absolutely. It was a wild day at Beacon, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a good time. We had breakfast. What was that?
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Oh, no, at Beacon.
Yes.
From lunch, oh my.
Yes. You got to forget. Can't remember.
Breakfast for lunch at Beacon, oh my.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yes,
Bill, can you believe it? Bill, I'm sorry. We didn't have any pancakes, eggs, and all that stuff left to bring you.
Oh, you didn't have no eggs or pancakes or nothing like that?
Well, we had tons, but we ate them.
Oh, did you have bacon and eggs?
We had bacon and eggs, yes.
Oh, that's a nice drum roll. All right, and that's in honor of our drummer, Madeline, here. I mean, she loves drum
rolls. She's a drummer?
She's a drummer, and a drummer extraordinaire. She's a rock star drummer.
Yeah.
I mean, she can make those drums talk. Yes. I'd like to hear that again. What if applesauce is applause, what are drums?
That's when you have a godly joke.
Godly joke.
How's come he's the only one that
we are kind
push
of
it.
Godly jokes. I don't know. But anyway, we just had a great day today. Tons of eggs. And there was a half dozen eggs, Connie.
That fell on the floor.
That fell out of your hands.
You know what happened is Aaron was saying, oh, look at her just breaking those eggs like Paula Deen. Boom, they fell off the...
You were breaking them like Paula Deen, right?
Fell off the counter. I said, oh. Got to take that back. And she said, oh, no, you know, she does that in the middle of the takes, and they just cut it out.
Yeah, they just cut it out. That's right. So you only lost a half dozen of them.
I think five or six. I think it might have been six.
And I hear you just scooped them up and put them in the scrambled eggs, right?
Yeah. Along with the hair and everything else.
No. Nasty.
We had, I think we had five or six dozen eggs there. So
yeah.
Because we cooked three dozen.
Yeah.
We cooked... one dozen for the burritos, I cooked another dozen with cheese, scrambled, and then I made another one. We didn't have any more cheese, so I had just plain scrambled eggs.
Yeah. Wow. So. It was fun, wasn't it? Pancakes were flying.
Those were good pancakes,
too. Those are good pancakes. Oh, I had some that had chocolate chips and pecans.
I did, too. Pecans, walnuts, chocolate chips, and coconuts.
That's what you had in your pancakes?
Yes.
There wasn't any room for any pancakes.
They were pretty tight in there. So I thought, you know, this is really good. I think I should eat another one. So she made me another one. But with the biscuit and gravy that I had,
right,
and the hash browns and the eggs.
You know, you're making everybody hungry out
and
there.
And you know what else? I was so worried about having toast.
Right.
We never even broke out the toasters.
Right.
And we never even...
They were Danish and all that, donuts.
Yeah, we never even made toast. I don't know what happened to the bread.
You know, for those of you that are going, like, what are they talking about? We do different things.
Breakfast for lunch at Beacon.
That's it. We do different things at Beacon, fun things. In fact, this Friday night coming up, September 2nd, if you're in our area, we're having the first beach worship evening. It's going to be on Indian Rocks Beach with some guitars. And it's going to be fun, real laid back. Bring your beach chair. And you'll find us by We're the Ones Singing.
You'll find us
By the guitars.
We probably won't put up our sign or anything because we don't really have a flag.
It'll be First Avenue on Golf Boulevard in Indian Rocks for any of you that want to join us at 7 o'clock this Friday night. So, you know, my point, Con, is that we just are doing a lot more fun things, like next Monday, Labor Day.
Because we're fun people.
We Speak for yourself.
You do seem like
to be a fun person. Yes, you do.
Yes, I are.
Okay, you are. Mm-hmm. And so, but what God is doing in lives, that's the most important. Connie, you're the head of our counseling ministry, and we are seeing tremendous breakthroughs.
Don't be saying that. Now they're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to want to come in for counseling.
All wackadoodles come here. But you know what?
Counselor.
You know, honestly, we are seeing huge breakthroughs in people's lives, aren't we?
Yes.
And it's exciting to be able to offer that as a ministry free. And it's just a blessing. And while we're talking about all these announcements, before we bring Madeline and Shell in, next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. What is that?
Labor Day weekend.
That's true. But what else is it?
It's nursing home ministry.
Nursing home ministry. Would you talk about that for a second? I just love that ministry.
We have the most fabulous people that we go visit the first Sunday of every month, and they are just so hungry. Just, I mean, even if we just sat there and sang with them, they'd be
happy. That's all they'd want.
And so we do sing, and then we talk a little bit, give them a little brief message, and then sing some more, and then we leave. And
Palm Garden.
Yeah.
Where our dear Jeannie was for a long time, and where my mother was for a while. And it's a privilege to be there the first Sunday of every month. We're excited about that ministry. Love it, love it, love it. And we're just, they know us. They recognize us when we come in, and they gather everybody up in their wheelchairs and wheel them in, and we sure have fun. It really is great. So
it's like vacation Bible school.
Yeah, it is. It's just, and we sing some of the old Sunday school songs that some of us grew up in singing, and
you know, there are people that a lot of times are forgotten.
Right,
they're forgotten on the holidays. They're forgotten on Sundays. They're forgotten every day of the week.
Right,
and so hopefully, what we can do for them in the brief time that we're with them, we can give them a little bit of joy.
And it is. It's fun. And any of you out there in Radio Land are welcome to join us the first Sunday of every month at 1:30 at Palm Garden. And if you do come, just ask at the front desk and they'll tell you where we are. So it's like a 40-minute, 45-minute service at the max. Sometimes it's only 30.
I think we got done pretty quick last month.
Yeah.
Because I spoke real fast.
You spoke and you did a good job, I hear.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
We'll see. Okay.
There's no recording, so we're
there's
good.
No recording. Well, we are so glad. God's doing some mighty things at Beacon, some exciting things in people's lives. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Because the bottom line is that people really need the Lord, and so if you are in need of spiritual help, that's what Beacon of Hope is all about, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Healing and restoration.
Yes.
Is a big thing.
Healing and restoration.
Yeah, because we serve a community that is otherwise forgotten, just like the individuals in the nursing home.
Right.
And or would like most likely be wanted to be forgotten or swept under the rug or gotten rid of.
Yeah. But you know what? It's all about the fact that God loves us so very much. We do this radio show every week, and now we're in our fifth year, and it's all because we want to tell the good news of the gospel. We're excited to talk about Jesus.
We're the children of the Most High God.
Amen.
Whether anybody else in this world wants to acknowledge it or not, He does.
Amen.
And He wants us to know that. And we need to just make sure everybody knows that.
Amen. Wow. All right. Do you have anything else you want to share before we go on with this song? I love this song by Avalon. People need the Lord.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through pride. Fear.
Praise God. I love that song. One of my old favorites from clear back in Indiana days. That is a great song. People need the Lord. To my right is Shell. We're so glad you are with us today, Shell Loring Gray.
Thanks for having
Welcome
me.
Back. This is her second time. This is cool, isn't it?
It's good to be back.
Yeah. And to my left is Madeline Ercolano. Oh, as I call her, Madeline Ercolano. And that makes more sense to me, doesn't it?
Whatever works for
Whatever
you.
Whatever works. Madeline was a part of our radio team back when we first began the radio ministry in 07. And now she's back on the team, and we're so glad. And you're our drummer. You are a wild, crazy drummer. Isn't she a good drummer?
She's awesome.
She's
like
awesome.
Animal from the Muppets.
Oh, wow.
That's a compliment.
Isn't that a compliment? She's really, really good. And we are excited about the praise band that we have and the way things are working now. And, Shell, this is the first time I think you've heard Aaron, or maybe not the first.
A couple times. She's great.
Isn't she great? Mm-hmm. We are so blessed to have Aaron and Terry with us now. And Aaron just plays a mean guitar.
She plays from her heart.
She plays from her heart, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. And today was wild. We did that contemporary song that we all love, How Great Is Our God, that we've used on the show before. And I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but if you couldn't feel God in that song, the 45 times we did it this morning, it seemed that way. It was really only twice. But anyway, I mean, what a presence of the Lord in that song, that contemporary song, and how great that sounded today. This song that we just played, People Need the Lord, really is a very old song. In fact, we used to do this at my church in Indiana a long time ago, and some of our listeners are from my old church and probably recognize that song, and it brings back some memories of some people who would do that song. People need the Lord. That's the theme. That's what we're talking about today, girls. People need the Lord. And you know, so often we get stuck in a rut in our lives and don't realize that there is that real deep need for God in our lives. It's there. And we're going to start today reading from Matthew 9 again, because this is the series that we're in right now. And this series is Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. So I'm going to read in the Message Bible here because it has the words Harvest Hands, starting with verse 35. And then we're going to spin off of this and really talk about it. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages, Matthew 9, 35. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies. Can anybody say amen to that? That's what Jesus went and did. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. So he didn't just heal their bodies, but also their bruised and hurt lives. And when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. I think in the King James, you have the King James there, Shell? I believe. You see where I'm at? Yeah, I think that's a King James. Where it says, he looked out over the crowds. Can you read that right there? And I think it uses the word compassion, doesn't it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them.
Yes.
Because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd.
Go ahead. Finish that whole part
then,
right there.
Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen. And that's what it's all about. In the Message Bible, it says, when he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. And we know that word is compassion in the King James and in some of the other translations. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. We are commanded to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. What does that mean, Madeline? You want to comment on that?
Well, it seems to mean that, you know, people are going to come that we need.
Right.
The things that we're missing, the gifts that maybe we don't
That's
have
exactly
people
right.
in the ministry for.
Right.
God is going to send us the people that we need to fill in those empty spaces so
right.
that we've got everything that we need to move forward.
Exactly. and to accomplish what he wants accomplished.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. he has a lot that he wants to get done, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. And even like this, with the addition of Aaron, let's say with the guitar, what mm-hmm. a huge help to our praise band that is, isn't it?
Oh, it's just that, I mean, her voice, besides just being beautiful, I mean, it's, you know, it lends that full sound. And, you know, the
right.
more voices we have to worship and the more instruments, it just, I think it brings everybody in more for that, you know, just a crazy anointed feeling.
That crazy anointed feeling, which is a good thing. Absolutely. That's a good point you made about there are people. I mean, people belong in a body of believers, and God brings them in and sets them in their mm-hmm. their place. And there are so many people out there, Shell, I'm going to talk to you about this, that don't even realize that God has a place for them in the kingdom of God, right?
Right. There's just so many people who are missing out, who have the opportunity to read Bibles,
right.
but don't.
Right.
Who sleep in on Sunday morning when they could be coming and getting the word.
Right.
And when you think of labor, it is labor to wake up in the morning sometimes when you don't feel like it and to go to church, but you walk away with so much more.
Isn't that true? It is. It is labor. I mean, you wake up. I mean, how convenient. This morning it was pouring down rain in our area, right? Was it your house?
Yeah.
It wasn't mine. I mean, it was pouring down. The dogs woke up early and they were just like, ah, you know, because the thunder and the lightning and all that. And so many people think, oh, great, it's raining. I'll go turn over and go back to sleep. You know, it's just like that kind of mentality that you want to do that. But, you know, the importance of coming together in a worship service and worshiping God and hearing the word and being encouraged to be more than we are, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. And what Jesus says here in Matthew 9 and 10 is that he says we need to be praying for people to get out there and help with this harvest. You know, it's about harvest time, getting very close up in the Indiana, you know, corn belt that I'm from, Indiana, Ohio, and all that area. And pretty soon that harvest is going to be coming in, you know, and it's just a few weeks or a few days left in the growing season for corn and beans up there. And so whatever is going to be, you know, ready to be harvested, it's getting there, you know. And I feel that way about souls. And I think that song that we started with, People Need the Lord, is so important for that.
I think that too many people feel the Lord doesn't need them.
Ah.
They have so much to contribute.
Yes.
And if they would just wake up, come, you know, everybody
exactly.
has gifts, talents, something to give.
Right.
You know.
Don't you think that's a common problem with a lot of people? I she's kind of turned that around the other side. I like that, that they feel that they aren't needed.
And that they're not worthy.
That they're not worthy. You want to comment on that, Madeline?
Well, probably for a lot of reasons, you know, for past bad experiences in their churches or because maybe they're living their lives in a way they feel not accepted and they feel like God it doesn't have a use for them. But, you know, and it's just the opposite of that. It's so, I think they would get so much more if they could see, you know, that there is a place for them and there's things for them to be doing.
Right.
And if they give that, the human stuff that they're going through up to God,
right.
then all of that other stuff just falls into place.
It really does, doesn't it?
You have to go to God first and tell him, hey, here's where I'm at, because he'll take you wherever you're at.
He
you know,
certainly
zero
does.
Zero to 10 on the scale, anywhere in between. He wants you. You're his kid.
Right.
And he's going to help you. And you just have to call out to him and say, hey, this is what I can do.
Right.
You know, and he'll guide you and lead you. And it's
absolutely.
So it's such a burden lifted off of you when you realize that. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's something that has to constantly be, you know, cultivated. Because,
right.
you know, we are human and we think we know what we need to do.
Right.
But I know for me, when I do what I'm supposed to do, it may not be exactly the way I want it, but it's so much easier.
You want to amplify on what you're supposed to do, and then Shell can comment on that, too.
Well, meaning, you know, giving it to God, you know, so if I wake up in the morning, like you were just saying before, and, you know, sure, in my humanness, do I want to stay in bed, especially when it's pouring like it was this morning, or I'm tired, or I had a late night, or whatever.
Right.
It would be easy. Well,
sure.
I don't have to go. They won't, you know, they won't miss me just this one week.
Right.
But, you know, when I, and it happens to me, you know, on many occasions, you know, because
right.
I'm human.
Right.
And I want to stay in bed, or, you right. know, I want to cuddle with Midol, or, you know,
yeah,
just stay home and not get in the car.
Right.
But I, every time I am rewarded tenfold because right. I'm communing with my
yes.
family in God right. and I'm singing and I'm praying and I'm fellowshipping and I'm eating and it's all so wonderful.
It really is.
You always get back, always.
Woo. Praise God. You know, we're going to talk more about your point there, Shell, though, about people feeling they're not worthy or they're not acceptable, because I think this is the problem with a lot of people in their daily walk. They feel like they're too messed up, or they're too scarred, or they're too hurt, or they're beat up by a church someplace, because that happens. You know, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, just personally, I grew up in a small Southern Baptist church, and from an early age, I recognized that there was a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of Sunday Christians.
Yeah.
During the other 6 days of the week, were out doing the very things that they said were wrong to do.
Right.
We had gay people who wanted to join our church, and they were tossed aside mm-hmm. and told they couldn't join. We had people of color who wanted to join. Everything that we allow at our church.
Right.
All the people that we invite anyone.
Anyone.
If you're homeless, if you're of another color, another
right.
ethnicity,
yes.
Of another sexuality,
right.
Regardless of that, everyone's welcome.
Right.
And we all, like I said, have something to offer.
Absolutely.
But I think so many people early in life were turned off for various reasons.
Yeah.
Many of us in our church, because we are gay. We were oppressed. We're not welcome still today in many other churches.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other people, you know. At our church, I feel good because everyone's comfortable.
Right.
It's a very casual atmosphere. Everyone's welcome, and no one feels like there's any cliques or backbiting. And
right.
It's just a great place to be.
It is, isn't it? And
yeah.
Don't you think that is the gospel? Let's go on in Matthew 10, and I think that this will all tie together here. Matthew 10, verse 1, the prayer was no sooner prayed, and I'm in the Message Bible. I mean, Jesus says in the last line of Matthew 9, how few workers on your knees and pray for harvest hands. So what we should be doing right now, guys, is praying and asking God to raise up more people that want to help pray people into the kingdom of God, you know, that will actually be very concerned about others. And we're going to talk about that, but let's go on. So the prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Oh, I love that. You know, bam, it's prayed and now it's answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them. And this is very important because he gives us these very same things. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits. And we do that. We believe that when people are oppressed, we can pray over them and command those spirits to leave. That may sound kind of wild to some of you, but believe me, it works and people do get set free. Jesus gave them the power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. I love that in the Message Bible. He gave them the power to do the thing, you know, of casting out the junk in people's lives. But he also, the other hand of that is he gave them the power to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. I want you both to comment on that. Tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives, and why is that the commission of Jesus to us, and how do we do it? Can you remember all those questions? All right, Madeline, you're up first. I probably can't either, so we'll just go with it, you know?
Well, I mean, how, you know, the first thought that comes to my mind is just how important is that? Everyone, you know, in the world is hurting.
Yes.
Or has hurt or will hurt for something in their lives. And just that, I mean, that with love, is that what we need to be doing, is to be able to look at someone and, you know, we always talk about at Beacon, we need to love the people that it's not as easy to love. You know,
right.
It's easy to love the people that we love.
Right.
But the ones that, you know, we clash with, or, you know, so in some cases we can consider our enemies, or just someone that you don't understand is different from you.
Right.
You know, you need to look at them and realize that they're a person with all kinds of stuff going on, just like me.
Right.
And to be able to look at people that way, not easy.
Not easy.
Not always easy. Sometimes
right.
easier than others.
Sometimes people irritate us, right?
It's what God wants us to do.
Absolutely.
And knowing that now, because I didn't know it before, you know, until I probably started coming to Beacon in the beginning, because you only know what you know.
Right.
I can practice that. And I have to practice it all the time, because it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easily all the time. But it's the most important thing. It's what I think God wants us to be doing, is loving and caring for each other.
I think that's huge, and that's why I think Jesus says here, he gave them authority and power to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. And we're gonna talk more about that in a minute, but go ahead, Shell, comment on that.
I was just going to say that, you know, hurt people hurt people.
They do.
And you see it all throughout life, from your parents who maybe got a raw deal from their parents, and just any of your enemies. For example, you know, I was praying today in church that my supervisor, my boss, who is very tyrannical, very closed-minded, and just very miserable. I live basically or work in a toxic environment.
Right.
One thing that really works is praying, praying that God will change something in her life and her heart. You don't wish ill will on your enemies. You're supposed to love them. And what does work, the tried and true method, is killing people with kindness.
Isn't that the truth?
Even in traffic, if somebody irritates you.
Traffic, Madeline, traffic.
And
I know. Yeah.
They give you the number one sign because you accidentally or inadvertently cut them off.
Yeah.
If you just smile and wave at them, they don't
know
what to do.
They don't know what to do. You just kind of,
So it works.
Take
best.
Away their power.
Right.
Yeah. I do the number two sign now.
Peace?
I give peace to everybody.
Peace sign? Really? That's good.
Oh, I do the L sign to the forehead. That's leader. Leader. But, you know,
we live in a traffic land, right, down here. Some people in other states right now don't understand that, because they can get on the road and get there quickly. But it's not like that in some parts of our little land here. But go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
I just think you have to remind yourself every day, as Madeline said, it's not natural, our human response, have somebody wrong us and then just smile about it.
Right.
But God gives us the power to respond appropriately. And you can never help what circumstances you're going to face, the curveballs that life throws at you.
Right.
But you can help how you react to it.
Amen.
And it's practice. And that in
it's
itself
practice.
Is a labor.
It is. No, it totally is, because and what you're saying here is that even though it's hard in some of these circumstances that we all live in and go through life, God gives us the ability that you got to look and say, whoa, did I just react that well? Wow. How did that happen? That's not my normal behavior or my normal thought pattern. But you see, God gives us that strength, which we were talking about this morning at Beacon, courage, strength, and hope. He gives us the strength in times when we are just like amazed that we said the right thing instead of what we in the past might have said. You know what I'm saying, Shell?
Yeah. I mean, I just encourage all listeners out there this upcoming week when you have to go to work and face the boss, face the dragon,
right?
Try in your situation to respond the way God would.
Exactly.
With patience and with a smile.
And, you know, when we study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see the life of Jesus, how did Jesus respond when he was so persecuted by the religious leaders? I mean, he was, like, attacked. I mean, they were, like, out to get him, out to kill him, actually out to physically kill him. And they said awful things to him, you know. They put him down. They didn't recognize that he was the Messiah. Yet his response was, what would be your general attitude of his response, Shell?
Oh, he asked the Lord to forgive them. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He had compassion.
Yes.
And he knows the human flesh were weak, and that was the price he had to pay to save all of us from ourselves.
From ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, when you read this up here in Matthew 9, you said he was filled with compassion, and that's a good point to come up with again. And two things I want to bring out real quick. One thing, actually. The real definition of compassion is this. It's two parts. It's when we have a awareness of somebody else's distress. A lot of us have an awareness of somebody else's distress, but we don't do part two. Part two of the definition of compassion is we have an awareness and we have a desire to do something about it. Part two, the desire to do something about it, can really be hard for a lot of people because so often we want to just do what we want to do and not worry about. You want to comment on that, Madeline? Because I think that's a really good point.
It's, it's hard sometimes to approach people because you don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get. You don't know if you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Mostly when it's me, I'm questioning myself, and that's the reason why I'm not responding. And I know that's another thing that I worked on a lot when I don't know, a couple of years into Beacon, where I would talk with other people that, you know, were able to, you know, that I kind of looked at, you know, looked up to, because they could just go over to somebody and ask them if they wanted prayer or, you know, whatever it was, whatever the response is, just ask them, can I do anything for you? And I always had a problem with that. And it's still not a comfort zone for me, but I can do it sometimes, you know, and I know how it feels. I know how I feel when I do respond, even if the person doesn't need my help or maybe doesn't respond in a friendly, happy way, let's say. I know I feel good because I saw someone and I had a thought that I wanted to do something and I didn't walk by.
Right.
Because when I've done it before, because I've walked by plenty of times, I always felt like, darn it, you know, I really wanted to respond there and I just didn't have the courage.
Courage.
You know, so now I just ask God,
courage, strength,
and
hope.
Somebody.
Yes.
Okay, Lord, is there something here for me? You know, because it's coming to my attention.
Yes.
So it's there. And again, sometimes I still don't do it, but more times than not,
I do it
over time. And it feels good. And you know what it is, too? I don't usually want to share it with anybody.
Right.
It's for me and God. And that's, you know, because a lot of times, you know, you want to get credit for stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you want to say, oh, what I did today, and you want to get that pat on the back. And I used to kind of feel that way. And now I just say, okay, God, was that okay? Was that what you wanted me to do? And it just feels good to respond to your fellow human being. It's such a simple thing, really, but so hard.
It's hard. Why?
What was the original question?
It's hard to respond to our fellow man so often, isn't it? And by the way, Connie's manning the internet over here while Shell's thinking of her answer.
I'm womaning it.
You're womaning it. I'm sorry. And it is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to write in while we're discussing and throw in a comment or a question, we want to hear from you. And a lot of people do that. And we want to hear from you. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Shell, why is it hard sometimes to take a moment and care or smile or respond or pat somebody on the back or listen? Why is that so hard?
Well, because life is hard.
Yeah.
You know, human beings by nature are selfish. We're thinking about
it's
our
true.
Own problems and our
right.
own worries and our own fatigue, our own sadness, anger. So it's it can be exhausting sometimes because you're so wrapped up in what you're going to do to save yourself, or, you know, especially at work. I mean, my type of job, like yours, Pastor, you have a lot of hurting people coming to you constantly, and they want an answer.
And you have the same thing in your job in the school nursing.
And it's day after day, and I pray personally that I never grow apathetic.
Right.
Because I do care about people, but sometimes I don't have the energy myself to.
Sometimes it's just hard to listen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to smile, and you've got to try to be encouraging and dig down deep and just ask God to give you the strength so that you can be a leader and an example to others.
Okay, huge point right there, because this morning when I was preaching out of Joshua, we were talking about courage, strength, and hope, which are the three things in AA and Al-Anon and CODA and all those programs that they say, learn to share your courage, your strength, and your hope. And that went along with Joshua 1 that I was teaching out of today. And what you're saying, and I just heard it right there, so often we feel like, Shell, in our own strength, we don't have the capacity to listen enough, help enough, care enough, be there enough for some of these people that are so hurting and have so many serious life issues going on, you know? But you just said it right there. When you feel that way, you stop and you pray.
Mm-hmm. I think what's the message here? What would God want me to say to this person?
Yeah.
What would he do in this situation?
There you go.
And that's all you can hope for.
And then you just open your mouth and let him fill it.
Right.
You know? I mean, seriously, don't you?
Exactly.
And it's amazing to me. When I am weakest, I am the strongest. Do you know what I'm saying?
Strength and vulnerability.
There is strength and vulnerability. And when we realize that we don't have all the answers, then it allows God to move through us. Comment on that.
Also, I think it, you know, it takes you out of yourself. So something you said before, Shell, was, you know, when we may be feeling angry or hurt or, you know, and we see someone else in need and you're like, you know, I feel too crummy. I don't have anything to give. But you know what? It takes you out of yourself. And I, you know, I love that, you know, okay, yeah, I'm having a crummy day and I'm really wallowing in my stuff. So let me go and talk to somebody else and listen to them. And that it really does help to try to be there for someone else and get out of your stuff.
Oh, it so does. Mm-hmm. Because the devil comes in and convinces us that we have it worse than anybody else does, right? Mm-hmm. We are the most pathetic and we have the most problems and we have the most issues. And if people would just understand how bad we have it. Do you know what I'm talking about, Shell?
Yeah, I think that God wants all of us to do our part, and even when we don't feel like it. And I think it's part of human nature as well to feel good about yourself when you've helped someone.
Right.
I'm drawing a blank.
But you're right.
I have so many situations in my mind.
Well, were you going to talk about one? Yeah.
Just.
Well, what the world needs is peace, okay? Mm-hmm. And so often that people are running around in this life, especially now, the fast-paced life we all live. I mean, technology, my gosh, I can sit here and I can text you, Madeline, even though we're sitting here beside each other. And in less than a minute, you'll have it in a couple seconds and you can respond without even talking to me.
Right, right. Yeah.
How bizarre is that?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's
isn't it?
It's a gift and it's a curse, you know,
right.
Because it's, you know, technology has helped us to do so many more things faster, but that's also taken us away from people.
Exactly.
And there's no, you know, there's that opportunity to really isolate because you've got so many ways of communicating that isn't really communication, is it? Because it's not that touching, looking, you know,
look
at you and see what you're saying. And how many times do we say that emails and texts can be miscommunicated?
They
because
can.
You can't get the vibe or the, you know, the feeling behind what the words are saying.
Because so often, don't you think it's in the tone of voice that we find we hear somebody's love for us?
Mm-hmm.
Body
on the face,
language.
Or body language, yeah.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just saying my, you know, when I had my birthday, I gave more kudos to the people who actually took the time to go out and buy a birthday card and put a stamp on it and put it in the mail rather than these e-cards. And I appreciate the e-cards, but they aren't as personal, personable. And I like to see the face or hear the voice on the other end of the phone.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's exactly a good point. And by the way, you're our birthday person.
That's right. And I sent Michelle an e-card. So sorry.
No, it went further than not being thought. I still know I was being thought of, but.
But you're just saying that technology does not replace the old ways of looking somebody in the eye or giving them a high five or a hug or whatever, because it God, you know. He made us human, and we love that. We love that interaction. Mm-hmm. I mean, Madeline, it seriously, is one of the funniest people you'll ever meet, Shel. She is hilariously funny. And she has a crazy sense of humor. And it's fun. Some of the things that we laugh about are funny, funny stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's funnier to me when I'm with you than when we're communicating something stupid over email. You know what I'm saying?
See that. Well, you know, I think a good example, too, is a handful of us went to see the movie The Help yesterday.
Yeah.
And that experience, even sitting in a movie theater with a room full of strangers, you know, where you're laughing out loud, you're crying at some points. I was thinking about that as I was sitting there yesterday, because sometimes I don't really like the crowds, and we were in a crowded movie. But wasn't that really kind of cool? I mean, just sitting there and feeling emotions with a room full
with
of people.
Other people.
I really enjoyed
and
it.
And that's what happens at church, okay? When we are feeling, you know, the presence of God. I mean, that's why I had to have Aaron do How Great Is Our God twice today, because just doing that and feeling that, all of us together in unity, how great is our God, you know? And seeing that excitement and that feeling that people were going, yeah, I get that, I get that, I get that, you know? Woo! This song is one of my favorites by Clint Brown. It's an old song, but it's going to bless you.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever. I pray in fathomless billows of love. Come on and say.
God, I love that song. My peace, peace, wonderful peace spreading over my spirit Yeah, we may do that one again later. I don't know. We'll see. But I love that Clint Brown rendition. It's all about peace. And what we're talking about in so many people's lives here today, and we are in Matthew 10, and actually, they need peace. Now, let me finish my thought. And then let's go down to Matthew 10, verse 5. Because Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands, those are his disciples, out with this charge. And start shall in the King James there, read verses 5 through 10, and then we're going to read it in the Message Bible. Matthew 10, 5 through 10.
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat.
Okay, that's the standard that the King James, a lot of us grew up hearing that translation. The Message Bible that we teach out of a lot. Listen to it in the Message Bible. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. Now, basically, Jesus is saying you don't have to go very far to find somebody who's in need. Let's remember that point, okay? Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy, okay? And I think that has to do a lot of times with political things. I mean, people get on that bandwagon. There's nothing wrong with being political, but that's not what Jesus is sending them out to do, okay? He says, go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Now, I think that is huge. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Okay, we know from Romans 14, 17 that the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's your right standing with God, and it's peace. So we just had that song. And it's about joy. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Tell them that the kingdom of God is here. It's here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Bring health to the sick. Whoa. Raise the dead. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be a person who's actually physically died. There's a lot of dead people out there walking around. Y'all know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that. Touch the untouchables. It kind of goes back to a point you were making earlier, Shell. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. Here it is, that one little sentence that I love in this verse. You are the equipment. You are the equipment. And all you need to keep that going is three meals a day. Travel light. I love these verses because this is practical Christian living. This is what it's all about. Madeline, what'd you think about and you're hearing all that?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you just need to look around you. You don't have to go far. You don't need some, you know, fancy, expensive tools or gizmos. You just need to look around you and see the people that you're, you know, you're spending time with, that you're walking around with, that you see every day, that live next door to you, and just, you know, ask God, you know, what do we need here? What do these people need? What can I do? And it really is simple.
It is
simple.
It's
not easy, but it's simple. You know, we just have to learn to do it.
Simple but not easy. Shell, comment on that. Simple but not easy.
Something simple but not easy. Walking into work every morning and walking by your coworkers that you see every day. And as I've told some of you quite often, I work in a toxic environment and people just are, you know, they're hurting there and they're not in a good mood and
right.
There's a lot of negativity. And what would be simple is just if everybody smiled upon greeting each other.
Yeah.
And when they said to you, hey, how you doing? They really meant it.
That would be it. That'd
using
be good.
The phrase, hey, how you doing, as just a, you know, a hello.
As they walk by.
As they walk by, before
no
they even
answer.
Give you time to mm-hmm, respond to mm-hmm. tell you how you really are doing.
That's
I'd like
what,
to see more of that.
Exactly.
Just a simple, small act of kindness, but it goes a long way. To be kind to the people that you work with every day, that you see every day. To be kind to your spouse that, you know, you see every day. Just to not lose that respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's so easy to get into... it's simple but not easy, because it's not always easy to be sweet, kind, and lovely, is it?
No. Not at all.
Not at all. Because our emotions, experiences, things happen. Comment on that.
Yeah, and especially, you know, to your loved ones. I mean, I think it's easiest to, you know, to lose sight of that. And, you know that your family, your friends, your partners, they're there for you. So maybe you can get away with a little more, and you don't have to be sweet, kind, and lovely every minute because they understand or whatever. But I think it's even more important then to be aware of that, because once we get into our head, well, you know, I can just act any old way, then that, I think, just escalates. And you really have to be on top of your behavior, because you can feel anything.
Right.
But how are you going to act? And that, again, is the hardest thing. I mean, I can feel all mad inside and I'm pissed off or something happened and I just want to, you know, lash out. But am I going to do that?
Right.
And that's, I think that's the important thing, because we all have our emotions and they're going to be all over the place. But how am I, you know, I know when I say something ugly. And I,
you do?
And now I'm more so.
We all know when we.
Well, now I hear it like God is listening to me. Too. And I it's like I'll say something and I feel the repercussion of it. It hurts.
Ooh, okay.
I'll say some, you know, if I said something out loud that might have hurt somebody's feelings or just was not respectful. And I feel it now, you know, and I, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to correct that. I apologize. And, you know, and I need to make sure I have to pay attention. And it's just about small steps.
So what that is the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, bringing conviction, right? And when God is convicting us, it's gentle like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when the devil is trying to, Madeline, hey, why'd you do that? That was awful. Why'd you do that? Boy, we're going to do with you, you know.
He does. He walks around with that jabby stick.
Doesn't he?
And it, you know, and sometimes he gets you and you do behave badly.
And but there's a difference in the voice, isn't there? When it's God correcting and the Holy Spirit, the sweetness of the Holy Spirit versus the devil beating you up. Shell, you want to comment on that? You know the difference.
Just piggytailing off of... Piggybacking off of Madeline, I think it's harder to be mean than to be nice. It's exhausting.
To be mean?
Yeah. And when you react...
Because you are... That's not your natural nature, is
no.
it? That's not you.
Nobody wants to be unhappy.
Right.
But, you know, when you get angry at somebody, it might give you 5 minutes of satisfaction. And after that, there's nothing but regret.
Right.
And usually remorse and guilt.
Totally.
So I think it is important to start using your head a little bit more often. And, you know, you're going to follow a wide range of emotions, especially us women, you know, with our hormones and PMS.
Really?
You got to be disciplined.
Yeah, I remember those days. Anyway, you know, it's you said follow your head. And I'm going to interject here. How about following your heart? Because your heart is where God's spirit is living there, and it's our head that has to take a while to get regenerated. You know what I'm saying? To get changed.
There's a balance.
Yes. You know?
You can't be all heart. You can't be all head.
Right. Exactly.
You've got to balance it.
Absolutely, you do.
Otherwise, you'll be taken advantage of as a human being.
Right.
If you just use all heart.
You got to use some wisdom is what you're saying.
Right.
And I agree with you. You got to use some wisdom. So what Jesus is saying here is you don't have to fly off in an airplane to some foreign land to be a missionary. He said to his disciples, you don't have to go far. I don't want you going far. I just want you to go and be who you are and go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. And then Jesus is specific, and he says, tell them that the kingdom is here. Okay? And I mentioned a minute ago, Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness. Okay? It is right standing with God. People need to know the good news of the gospel that they can be in right standing with God. Because I think a lot of times, and give me your thoughts on this, a lot of times people are ugly because they feel like they've already sealed their doom with God. You know, they got this issue, that issue, and they don't see a way out, so they're just going to be ugly, you know, and be they feel apart from God. They feel separated. They feel like they don't belong or they don't measure up. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I have some friends currently that are mad at God because they are not happy with their situation and they feel like they're not getting answers or solutions quick enough. So, of course, they're not praying and they're not, you know, they're not acting right. They're mm-hmm. they're just angry and right. and lashing out.
Right.
And I try to talk with this one particular friend and not really give her advice, but just kind of hear what she's saying. And, you know, I've given, of course, some Graham Cook CDs because that's, you know, always a good thing.
Yeah, those
but,
are great.
But I just, you know, it's frustrating for me because I feel like, you know, she's not seeing that mm-hmm. she's, and she knows God, so it's not unfamiliar territory to her. But in her despair, she's just, you know, decided to give up. And it's frustrating to watch
yeah.
because
oh,
I
it?
Know, and she knows, you know, she's got to give this stuff over to God in order to get back on track. And so, you know, what I try to do with her is and I listen to God and I pray for her and try to intercede a little bit and just ask God, you know, give me the right words, you know, and it may take some time and it is taking some time. But I think eventually she'll get back on track, but a lot of people are out there just angry.
Absolutely.
You know, God took my spouse. God gave, you know, my mother this disease. God, you know, and they're just out and out blaming God for the, you know, the evils that are going on out there or the
right.
illnesses. And it's so hard to watch people in that spiral.
It is, because it is a spiral and mm-hmm. it's going nowhere fast. Ooh, all right. And this hour has gone by quickly. Wow, Bill, it's already been an hour already.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Can I ask a question?
Bill, you can always ask a question, Engineer Bill.
Well, what happens when, like I said before, I think I may have asked this question before. You know, you use a honey to attract bees, flies, whatever that expression is.
Okay.
What happens when you run out of honey?
You mean when you just are at the end of your rope and not feeling nice anymore?
Yeah. I mean, and that could be for the United States of America, too. You know, I know that we don't want to go to war with people, but we use all our honey and then we have to do something.
Right.
I was wondering if you can elaborate on both of those.
Well, as far as the United States and all that, I think that a lot of people would agree that our nation is probably in need of prayer more than ever before.
All right, that's a good answer.
I honestly believe we have people in government who need our prayer. In fact, it says in 2 Timothy that we are to pray for our leaders. And I, for one, don't remember to do that on a daily basis, but we need to. Okay, we need to be praying for our president and our Congress and our senators because they are in a very difficult position. I would not want to be one of those making some of these decisions that are having to be made. And I do believe that our nation is in a very critical time economically as the housing market and so many other things have been so devastated. This is a difficult time. So I don't think that that's an easy answer. I don't know that there's an easy answer for that question.
How about for just a single person at the end of the rope?
At their end of the rope, that is where Jesus is. He's at the end of the rope.
Thank you.
I mean, he really is. And so often, God allows us to make a lot of mistakes, do a lot of things that we shouldn't do Because by experiencing a lot of things, we realize, wait a minute, I don't want to be like that, or I don't want to do that. I don't want to think like this. I want to think differently. I want you, Lord, to change my thought patterns. And I want the truth of God's word to get down on the inside of me. And a lot of times, Engineer Bill, people don't cry out to God and ask for that truth to get down on the inside of them until their back is against the wall and they're going through hard times. When everything's going hunky-dory, and that's a nice word, I love that, hunky-dory, it's kind of difficult for a lot of people to cry out to God. It's hard, you know? They don't realize the need. We're going to go talk about this more in this hour. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Beacon of Hope Ministries. Easy for me to say. And we are so glad you have joined us today. And we're excited about this radio station. We're in our fifth year on this station. And this show is live in 8 states now. And we also have the internet, which is around the world. And the other cool, cool thing is that people can listen to these shows at any time. You can listen in your pajamas a week from now to this show. And we put it on our website, thanks to Engineer Bill. All these shows for the last year and a half are on our website. And we can go and listen to those. And they're great training for people, you know, that need to hear the Word of God in a format that's easy for them to understand. And I think that's really, really cool. We have a prayer line. What's the value of that, Madeline? And how do people find it?
You can go to the website, beaconofhopeministries.com, to get all the information on phone number, email address. Prayers at beaconofhope.com.
Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Beacon of Hope Ministries.com.
I'm sorry to correct you.
And they can call and ask for prayer if you're just feeling like you want to hear a human voice, like we were talking about before. You don't want to do all the technology, but you want to hear somebody. There's someone carrying the church phone, and you can call up and ask for prayer or email your request for prayer and just have somebody to talk to for a few minutes.
Absolutely. And that, there's real value in that, isn't there? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Huge value.
People use it, so apparently it's a needed tool because people call.
Oh, it's constant. Yesterday there must have been 5 or 6 requests that came over the internet to us from dying, Carol Maxine's dog yesterday, and that was very sad, and so many other things that came, people's requests for people sad and you know different things going through their lives, healing for different ones. Shell, tell everybody Wednesday night what happens at Beacon of Hope. Sunday morning is a traditional service, but there's nothing traditional about our service on Sunday morning, is there?
No.
No.
Wednesday night, there's a prayer service, right? That starts at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to come for prayer, that lasts until 7. And at that time, it's Bible study where there's singing. And the advantage of coming to Bible study is that it's more of an open dialogue among all the members. So you hear a little less of Pastor Marcia, which...
Oh, you sound like that's a good thing, Shell.
No, no. But, I mean, it just...
Alrighty, then.
I love you, Pastor Marcia.
I know
just
you
saying it allows the opportunity to everyone have a
voice.
And
we love
more
that
interaction.
Format.
Yes. And, yeah.
Yes. We love that
it's
format.
A good time.
It's a silly
and you,
time.
And you get to learn more about the Word.
Yes.
If you have questions, you know, something you didn't understand, which is pretty much every day.
People, you know. And we encourage, and the way we teach it is such that we encourage discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying. We want people to interact.
And
set up the tables.
A different viewpoint.
Yeah.
And it's good to hear the various viewpoints.
You enjoy Bible study, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago, you did a crossword puzzle for us on what we were studying, Shell. That was All right. That was really
cool.
That was great. Madeline, what happens to you on Wednesdays? What do you feel about that service?
It's a great, you know, learning time. It's a great fellowship time. We usually... I know this will be surprising to everybody, eat during that time.
When don't we eat
always
a vegan?
Food available.
I don't know.
And it's just, you know, for me, it's just a great time to learn The Bible, because I am new to the Bible.
And why? Do you want to comment on that?
Raised in a Catholic church. It just wasn't encouraged that I remember. It wasn't available at home. It really wasn't. You knew you had a Bible, but, you know, you didn't need to open it or anything. So other than, you know, the Gospels,
but you had
really.
One. But you had one.
I think we had one, yeah.
Yeah.
Not positive. So this is, you know, it's been a great thing for me to just, you know, learn. It's so much information. It's so interesting to hear, you know, especially knowing that there were, I don't even know if I knew there were different interpretations of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Message Bible mm-hmm. that I was encouraged to get, and because it's plain language, and that's what I need in order to kind of start my journey in the Bible. So I really like it. It's just a good time of fellowship and learning.
Get done about 8:30, and then our praise band practices. So that's what Wednesday looks like at Beacon mm-hmm. of Hope, and that's exciting. So one more time, reminder, this Friday night is Beach Worship at Indian Rocks Beach on First Avenue, right off of Golf Boulevard at 7 o'clock. We'll be the ones with a guitar and singing. That'll be us. So you can find us right there. So anyway, we got a great song. Oh, man, this just goes along with the questions Bill just asked. This is cool, Bill. Voice of Truth, Casting Crowns.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices, choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the
God, I love that song by Casting Crowns. Great song, The Voice of Truth. You're listening to Living a Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Today, my guests are Madeline here and Shell, part of our radio team. And we are having a pretty good discussion here about Harvest Hands, because this series, we want to talk about the practical aspects of being out there and being a harvest hand. What does that really mean? You know, and Jesus sent out the disciples and he tells them, basically, be yourself, be real. You're the equipment. I want to talk about that. You're the equipment. You know, so often, and back in my Campus Crusade for Christ days, Pastor Jim and I were both in Campus Crusade for Christ at Ball State University. And that was an organization that was big on, quote unquote, soul winning. Okay. And you came from Southern Baptist background, Shell. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing there, right? Soul winning. Get out there and save them for mm-hmm. Jesus. Okay. Get them to make a decision. And then you can put on your list that you show the pastor, I got three saved this week. Okay. Right. But so often people don't even understand what it is you're talking to them about unless you get real with them. Do you know what I'm saying about that?
Yeah, I just remember we had the same pastor for about 30 years, and he would come in, and most of the time I didn't really understand what he was saying, and so the message really didn't sink in, and just going there and showing up to church, I thought, you know, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm here. It's Sunday.
Okay, good point. Wow.
But I really didn't get the content.
Right. Did he preach from the Bible?
Yeah, he preached a lot from the Bible, and some of his sermons, I think, and he was a really nice gentleman, and he meant well, but I just think that long, you know, he started, you only have so many life experiences, and we started hearing a lot of the same stories, a lot of the same looping, and mm-hmm.
So there's a need in our lives to be fresh and in the moment, right?
And to just be real. You know, I've always thought, for example, what do I have to offer? I'm damaged goods. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a lot of bad life experiences, and I'm thinking, what can I offer? But you've taught me that I can share what I've gone through and how I've conquered some of the things that some of the problems I've faced, and that, you know, there's still a good life to be had, and it's never too late.
Exactly.
To never give up. And
exactly.
So one of the things I remember when we were coming to Beacon, we were sort of church shopping, and we liked you because you were real. You spoke from your own experiences. You were humble. And you showed us that you're not perfect. And I think that's what one of the things I disliked about the pastor at our church growing up in the Southern Baptist Church, as well as many of the other churches I attended. They were all sort of on this soapbox telling you what the right way of life was. And they never shared anything personally about themselves because mm-hmm. they didn't want to be vulnerable.
Right.
And
didn't want to appear weak.
Right. And to me, that made them lose points in credibility, mm-hmm. you know. No one's perfect.
That's a huge point, because I think this is what Jesus is talking about. You are the equipment. When he says this, I think you've hit the nail on the head right there, Shell. Madeline, comment on all this. This is good stuff, you know, what she's talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah, I totally can relate about going to church, you know, and not getting what was going on. You know, for growing up in the Catholic Church, you know, I was baptized, I made communion, confirmation, you know. I followed the rules, you know. Right. I went to church every Sunday, but I wasn't participating. I wasn't aware of things that I needed to be aware of in order to, you know, I guess, cultivate a relationship with God. And I feel the same way about Beacon. You know, that Catholic service, and this is not, you know, talking against it, but comparatively, it was more almost like a show. It had to go through rituals. That was the whole thing about what church was. It wasn't about the content. And when I came to Beacon, and I've gone to several, a good couple of handfuls of churches in between, that's what I like. It's, I feel like you teach in a way that I can understand. I can talk to you, whereas in the Catholic Church, I was afraid to sneeze. I can ask questions. I can talk. I can, you know, I can not understand something and ask a question, and it's okay. It's not, well, you don't really need to know that. Just, you know, listen to this. And it's passionate, and it's, you know, praying
it's
out.
It's passionate,
which I,
really?
You know, I never heard anything like that.
Right.
You know, singing out, praying out.
Right.
Just, you know, expressing yourself in your own unique way, everybody there at church. And I've left Beacon and come back, and in the time I left, I looked at other churches and just never felt the same way. And not to say there aren't other churches. I'm sure there's plenty
sure.
in this kind
sure.
of, you know, vein. But it's so wonderful to understand now. To, you know, I always believed in God. I had that rote faith, and, you know, it was there, but I didn't get what I can do. Now I know I can go to God with everything, anything, talk to Him all day long. It's not just about going to church and praying.
Right.
Or
it's not
about,
it's
you know,
not.
Bending
it's
on my
daily
knee
life.
Before I go to
yes.
sleep and praying. It's constant communication. And that has changed my life because I've got God by my side all the time now.
Right.
And, you know, and I get that that is life-changing versus what I thought it was before. Just, okay, I already know I'm going to heaven because I did all these, you know, I made my communion, I did confirmation, and I go to church every Sunday and I confess my sins. But now I don't have to do it in a box
right.
to someone in robes. I can do it right to God. And
that's
again,
huge, isn't it?
That's not bad for everybody who does that. It just doesn't work for me.
Right. So what you've found and discovered is the personal nature of God, that He wants to be involved in your daily life, and that He cares about what's going on the inside of you, and that He encourages you to be yourself and talk.
Right.
You know, and that really, yes, excites the passion in me, because here we have a God that is that personal, that He understands everything there is to understand about you. Okay, everything there is to understand about Madalena Ercolano, everything. And He understands everything there is to understand about you, Shell, everything. Connie, all of us. And He loves us just the same. And He is continually working in our behalf to bring us new insights, you know, new understanding, new wisdom. God is working on the inside of us to teach us how to behave so that we are the equipment. And when we run into people, it's like they just bumped into Jesus. You know, they may not know it, but they did just bump into Jesus.
And isn't that why we share, you know, in church, you know, our praise reports? Because
yes.
we need to be sharing that with people in our lives that aren't a part of our church, too.
Good
so,
point.
So that they can see, you know, because they'll say, well, why do you have such faith? And well, I'm like, God's answering prayer all
right.
the time.
All the time.
And that, you know, that's the way you build people's faith is
yes.
to let them see this is what, look at her, look how happy she is,
yes,
look what she's doing now, look what she's accomplishing, look how
yes.
she speaks and acts, and
right,
you know, that's how we show, you know, the Holy Spirit inside
amen.
Of us.
Amen. Look at Shell, look at that beautiful face, that bright shining face over here. And you know, you didn't look like this. You were always beautiful, but you didn't look quite like this when you first came to church 2 or 3 years ago. And I don't want people to get the idea that we're just sitting here a commercial about Beacon. It's not that. It is about what God is doing in our lives, and that's who gets all the glory.
Right. Other people have their beacons out there. It's not just
right.
This is our experience.
But it is our experience with God. And Shell, when you first walked in the doors, you weren't really a happy camper. In your life. In your life. Do you want to touch on that? What God has done in you? Whatever you want to say or notes say.
Yeah, it's just pretty much a mess. I had gone through years of being brainwashed in Catholic churches and the Southern Baptist way. And I really did, my freshman year in college, checked out about 23 different churches.
And she knows how many. 23?
Yeah, it was a requirement.
Okay.
Everything ranging from Catholics to, we went to Methodist, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness.
Wow. You just really did them all.
Right. And help me out. What was the question here?
Well, the
I'm
question.
Still trying to wake up.
That's okay. No, the question was really the changes that have taken place in you in the last couple of years has been as a result of your encounter with God. Not necessarily anything but just God. I mean, that's what's happening in you. And that's what I wanted you to comment.
Yeah, I was a mess, and I apologize to listeners today. I'm just kind of in a fog. Took a nap, a really long one, after eating a big lunch. Yeah, when I came into Beacon, I was basically at the end of my rope, and I had all but given up on life. You know, I was unemployed. I didn't have a good relationship with my family back home, mainly because I come from a family. We have some racism. We have my father in particular is homophobic. So, and I'm the only one really who lives down here. I have my family at Beacon, and I have my spouse and her family. I have some great friends who I love very much who live down here. But all my blood related relatives are out of town here. But you know, 3 years ago, I didn't have a job. I was addicted to alcohol. It was hard to get out of bed in the morning, and it was hard not to be bitter and angry and feel sorry for myself. And, you know, I was just so depressed. And, it wasn't until I started coming to Beacon of Hope. You were the first, minister with your unorthodox way of
my what? What?
You don't follow a script, the same boring script that so many other churches I've gone to follow. Mm. You were personable. You acknowledged me. I didn't feel like just a number because I've been to many churches which are very large. Fortunately, we have a smaller group that actually shows up there, so we all know each other by first name. But
right.
I felt like, you know, you noticed me and you asked us to come back, and I started feeling something moving inside of me. But just your enthusiasm and your hope, it was contagious. And I just started coming, and I saw that this is a group of individuals who are very, you know, I look at us like a motley crew.
We are a motley crew.
Very different personalities. We've all been hurt.
Yes,
we've all
yes,
lived
sure.
oppressed lives. Mm-hmm. And we're all, we've been there, done that. And mm-hmm. some of us are still going through things. But really, I just felt like I was part of an extended family that
yes.
I didn't have before who accepted me for who
Amen.
I was.
Amen.
You know, it yes. feels like home.
And it is. It mm-hmm. is. And when we feel that we belong, you know, someplace, let's, you know, whether that's even in your workplace, you feel like, okay, I belong there. That's my little posse, you know, mm-hmm. You know, doesn't it make you feel different than when you feel like you are left out or you're pushed aside or you're less than or whatever? And I think the message of the gospel is that Jesus is saying, get out there and make people feel like they belong. You know, that they have purpose, that they have a reason to be living on this earth. You know, that they have something that God wants. I remember saying this morning, kind of at the beginning of the sermon, something to the effect that you haven't done what God has for you to do yet because you're still here. You have a lot to accomplish. Every single one of us do. And we got to figure out what that is. Madeline, talk to me about this.
Yeah, it's funny because when you first said that, you know, because you said you're still here, I thought you meant here at Beacon. And
no,
then you
no.
elaborated here on Earth.
Here on Earth,
thought, okay,
not here
good.
At Beacon. That's good.
Good.
Yeah, too. But no, here on Earth, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I talk to God all the time asking him to show me, you know, what is it, what gifts have you instilled in me
yes.
that you want me to use? And I kind of feel like I know some of them, you know, and some days you feel better about that than others. And what is it that, you know, what do you have for me here? And I just, you know, I try to keep myself open to that because you don't always feel like, you know, you want that kind of direction. And I definitely feel that. I want that. And coming, you know, going into Beacon and sharing your time with the church family, and it really does feel like family.
It is family,
and I agree
crazy
with you,
family,
Michelle.
Isn't it?
Blood isn't family. It's right. You know, it's just an attachment, a connection right. that you have with people. And I really believe we're all there for the same reasons. You know, we want
yes.
to share
yes.
our love and our worship of God, and we also want to heal ourselves of the things that are hurting, and we want to have a good time, and you know, it's all of those things. And I so look forward to it. I so feel loved there, and I
yes.
so love the people that are there.
Yes.
And it's just, that's, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
No.
You know, knowing you've got a place to go with people that are like-minded in
right.
God, and constantly
where you
building you up. What do we
where
say? Edifying.
Right.
Constantly building us up
Absolutely.
Together.
And that's what Jesus was saying to the disciples. He was saying, get out there and tell them that God hears their prayer. That God cares about them. Listen to this song by New Song, God Hears.
Well, you hope this day would never come. You can't look back. What's done is done. It's just so hard to lose and then go on. When all you had is not enough, it's hard to fall and get back up. When you can't breathe and your heart has lost its song. But there is hope, my friend. You will sing again. 'Cause God hears when there are no words to speak. Sorrow runs deep, and it feels like all your faith has disappeared. God hears. God hears. In a place they call Gethsemane, that's where he found his victory. When he told his father, not my will, but yours. Jesus gave his life to rescue us, and he knew that it would be enough to conquer death and open heaven's doors. Oh, and a love so deep, it leads us to be. Questions come when all you thought you had is gone. When you feel lost somewhere in the silence and fear comes rushing in, don't give up, you're not alone, no, 'cause God is here, yeah, and there are no words to speak. God is here, yeah. His healing runs deep, and all those questions that you had just disappear.
Praise God. God hears. He hears. He hears our prayers and he hears our cries. And when we're confused and frustrated, that is the message God wants us to hear today, that he hears everything that we say to him. You know, and I think so often we don't really get that down on the inside of us for a long time in life. And then when it begins to dawn on us, wait a minute, God's hearing my complaints. He's hearing my attitude and he's hearing my joy. And we were just talking about the joyfulness that's happening among us and that God is really saying, guys, rejoice. Be happy for what you have. Be happy in your life circumstances because so often people end up just complain. And I really believe that God's going to open more doors of opportunity for us to talk to people who are miserable. How do you feel about that? Because, I mean, if we run into an old Scrooge, Grinch, whatever you want to call it, okay, a miserable, mean person, we've run into them for a reason. And maybe it's just a quirky smile you give them, you know, kind of like, you know, one of those. Like, really? Are you really that miserable? You silly thing. And maybe you're not able to say that, but something is communicated, as we were talking earlier, Shell, in body language, in smiles, in the light in your eyes. People see what's going on the inside of your heart by how it shines out of you, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I noticed when I get far away from my habits of reading the Bible and, you know, you go through phases where you're real close and good with God and tight with him.
Right.
And things are going well. And other times where you become distant and usually, you know, that's your own choosing. But for whatever reasons, life gets in the way. But when you do get close with God, you start speaking differently. You have patience, peace of mind. You sleep better at night. You smile and there's sort of this outward glow, you know, this radiance.
That's exactly
right. Christians have.
Right.
That others don't.
That's exactly right.
And going back to like what we were talking about earlier when I was really depressed, I remember reading somewhere, you know, try starting small with just smiling, talking to the postman, you know, helping out your neighbor if you see your neighbor struggling. And I remember I was actually just so depressed I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I was closing everybody out. I didn't want to talk on the phone. I hated everybody. I hated everybody in the world.
You did. You hated everybody in the world?
Yeah.
You did. You went through a period of time that you really, it was just like, on the inside.
I mean, I just anticipated getting a problem with people, getting a rude clerk at the grocery store.
Okay, so you just were expecting that because life had dealt that much of that, right?
But then, you know, I started changing my own attitude and starting with little things. And I remember I had this postman, and he would come every single day, and I must have passed him for like 8 months straight. And we didn't say a word to each other. And then one day I just took the initiative and I said, hey, how you doing? And he kind of looked at me like, you talking to me? And we just talked about small things, you know, the weather. But then, I don't know, he told me a joke. And then from that point on, you know, I would see him and we would talk. And it was just, there
Fantastic.
Wasn't any awkwardness or anything like
right.
that. And it's something simple and small and seemingly meaningless, but it's not.
No. Oh, that is huge. Madeline, you got to comment on that as you hold your little son Milo in your hands here, your little baby doggy who's just a sweetheart, and he's our beacon.
Mascot.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Madeline, comment on that stuff that Shell was talking about.
Yeah, that, and also when you initially said, you know, if we run into somebody who's, you know, looking like they're having a bad day, sometimes I think God puts them in your path, you know, for a reason. So someone comes up to you and they're all, you know, grumpy McCranky pants. And, you know,
McCranky pants.
All right. You can really let that set you off, you know, because maybe you're already in that kind of mood.
Right.
Or sometimes, you know, I think God puts them there so that you can just hear, wow, you know, they sound like I feel.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's so, I guess, big like that, where it lets you take a breath and maybe say something kind instead of, you know, you know, maybe they said something not so nice to you and you kind of want to lash back. But instead, you know, God is letting you see that they're in a bad place.
Exactly.
And you get that. You know what that's like. So it gives you that pause for a minute to say, okay, you know, I can make a decision here and maybe change this situation. And, you know, like you're saying, just taking the time. So one thing that I said when I lived in Anchorage for a while, I moved there from New York City.
That is huge change. New York City to Alaska.
Well, the first thing that I noticed
when I got
there. Are
you an Eskimo?
No.
You're not. Okay. Just curious. I didn't know.
I like Eskimo pies, though.
Do you? Okay. All right.
But the thing that I loved about Anchorage was, especially the contrast from New York City, was people not only said hello to you, they talked to you. Like, I would be walking into a supermarket and someone would say, hey, how are you doing? And they would stop. And, of course, I didn't think they were speaking to me, so I just kept going. Because, you know, I had my Manhattan tunnel vision where you just look forward, you ignore everything that's going on around you. And when I moved here, because you can notice that, you know, the contrast from city to city or state to state, it was still a little bit friendly, but not quite as friendly as Anchorage and not quite as unfriendly as New York. I miss that. I like that we're just humans and right. we're going to interact and we're just going to take a minute to, I see you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that neat? Like you said in church, to be seen.
Right.
I could tell you in New York, I felt invisible.
Right.
And I'm sure I made people feel invisible because that was just the lifestyle that you got set into because life was crazy there. And,
yeah.
you know, you had to kind of not see things if
right.
you wanted to get through the day.
Right.
And I miss that. And I like trying to participate in that now and
right.
remembering that. And
yes.
I don't always do it, but now that I got it back in my head, maybe I can put that into my day of, you know, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? Who am I going to see?
See, I really believe that God is going to be in the days ahead because we've been talking about this Harvest Hands thing. I believe he's going to start opening more doors and more people that are going to come across your path. And then you have a choice, a decision to make right then. Do I smile? Do I reach out? Do I say, oh, good to see you. How you doing today? And mean it. Or do I just ignore them and go right on my busy way? You know,
that's easy.
To ignore and go on?
To just go, you know, to say, how much is that going to cost me in time or, you know, or
right. I don't
or
have time for that conversation. Yeah.
And just keep going. That's easy.
Right. Exactly. And yet what God is really saying to us is, let's be real. Let's care about the people that we're bumping into because, and to borrow something that a famous preacher, not famous, me, said this. Not famous. Yeah, famous to you. But said, they. You know, when you bump into these people, you may be the only Jesus that these people ever see. And you may be that opportunity. And when we get to heaven and there's that great big screen of our lives that's going to roll, you know, and I don't want to see these situations come up on the screen where I obviously missed it, you know, where instead of giving the life of Jesus, I was full of negativity or fear or or just, I don't care. It's all about me today. You know what I'm saying? And I think so often we go through life like that. I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready to get to church. And I was thinking about my sister, Karen. And I put her picture on Facebook this week. I don't know if y'all saw it. Karen came over for lunch and I just took her picture. She looks so cute. And so I just took her picture and I put it on Facebook and I said, I'm having lunch with my wonderful sister. Okay. And so people start commenting, oh, she's beautiful. And she is. And I was thinking about her today in this regard. My sister's been a hairdresser for 29, 30 years. She's my real estate partner, although she doesn't do a whole lot of real estate. But she absolutely, loves old people. That's why she loves me. And anyway, she loves old people. And in all of her years of hairdressing, she's got people that have been clients literally for 20 years. She's been doing their hair. Okay. And she is also on Wednesdays at Accordia, where my mother lives. Karen does the hair of all those old people. I mean, all of them. And Karen called the other day crying, sobbing, because Harry died this week. And I don't know if you remember Harry. Okay, but she just said, you know, that since I've started doing this 3 years ago, she said, we've lost 18 people. And Karen gets so attached to them and loves them. And she does those nasty things like their nails and all that stuff that she has to do, you know, and perms and all of that kind of stuff. And she listens to their stories and she loves them. And I thought this morning, my sister always says that she didn't get the spiritual gene. You know, she loves the Lord with all her heart. But I was thinking today, she can't preach a sermon, but she preaches when she's got them in the shampoo bowl. She shares with them when she's rolling up their hair on perm rods. And she tells them, you're going to be okay. You know, God loves you. You're all right. You know, you're special. And isn't that what it's all about, Madeline? The day before Jeannie went to be with God in heaven, Karen came to the hospice and she did Jeannie's hair and she did her nails. And she was awake for just that brief few moments, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And enjoyed that. And Karen was so blessed to be able to do that for Jeannie because it was important to Jeannie. And I think the bottom line of all this, Shell, is that God is just saying, be who you are. And if there's a kindness that you can give, it'll bring peace to someone.
That, I mean, that's what life is. You know, those moments, that those moments with Jeannie, I mean, we have pictures of them too.
Yeah, those two.
Those moments, I have to go back to the movie just because we just saw it, where she tells the kid, you're smart, you're beautiful.
Yes.
You're important.
Yes.
I mean, that's what's important in this world is,
yes,
is interacting with and building up people and making people feel loved, important, and special. I mean, that's all it really is. But we have so much that we have to do and have to go through so much that we forget that. But it's those moments to me that is life. That is
what life is. I totally
agree.
I have walked into Accordia when Karen was in there having one old person in the shampoo bowl and another one over here ready for a haircut, and she's doing a manicure over there. And she's just telling them about her grandkids and this and that, and she's just sharing life with them and telling them how beautiful they are,
mm-hmm,
and how special they are to her. Oh, comment on that, Shell.
Well, I think that
I need Kleenex.
Mean people suck. And
mean people.
We need to be nicer to each other. And
that's okay, Connie. I'll just dry them with my hands here, my tears. Mean people suck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a
words
compliment.
Of wisdom from Shell today. Yeah, mean people suck. Okay.
There's just too many. And I don't think they're mean people innately. I think they just do mean things. But I think, you know, just at work, just as a little experiment this week, Monday morning, tomorrow.
She's giving us homework.
As soon as you see somebody who you would ordinarily walk by, and maybe they don't make eye contact with you, and they're not the ones who actually mean it when they say, how you doing, because they're already, you know, passing you by when the question's being uttered, to smile, to say, you know, your hair looks nice today, or I like that outfit. Just say something positive.
Amen.
To somebody. And just know that they're going to remember that. And it might be the only nice thing that was said to them the whole day.
And really, in so doing,
mm-hmm,
you're giving them Jesus.
Right.
You're giving them his love, because he's all about love. Jesus is. God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. That's his nature. That's it. That's what he is. He is love. He's not criticism. He's not, here, let me shake you down and tell you how you need to do this and that. It's not about that. It is about giving the love of Jesus, the peace, the love, and the joy of Jesus. We're going to go back to Peace, Peace, Bill. We got to go back to that song, Peace, Peace. Number three. Now we'll have some final words.
Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep all of my sweet. Forever I pray. In fact,
come on and say,
it's about giving away peace, and it's about giving away the joy. And, you know, we were talking a minute ago about the silliness that is happening so much when we're all together. And I think that is just the joy, Shel. I think it's God's joy that he's bringing, because it is fun to be in the house of the Lord. And it's fun to see each other and give each other a hug and tease each other about something, you know, or whatever. Connie, you and I today, and Robin, we wore the same clothes to church, which was hilarious. It was hilarious. We all had on the same thing. It was, if you're watching us by video, we had on yellow golf shirts and khakis, and it was just hilarious that that happened. I mean, it was a joyful time, wasn't it, Madeline? What about this joy that God wants us to give away? I mean, that's what it's about, don't you think?
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, it goes without saying that, you know, we have fun when we get together, and it's just a joyful place to be. But, you know, I've learned more about just being joyful, even when I'm kind of not, you know.
Exactly.
Trying to... I guess get out of, you know, sometimes the funk that you're in. And when you're praying, you know, sometimes I pray to God and I'm just crying my heart out praying. And that's okay, because it's how I feel.
Right.
But a lot of times when I'm just like in my car, you know, praying, I just, you know, I start singing songs that we do at church, you know.
Yeah.
Very praiseful, worshipful songs that are just, you know, full of joy, because I want God to know I'm happy.
Amen.
That I can talk to him and love him and worship him this way. And even if I don't feel great, I'm going to try to just, you know, project that joyfulness. And then inevitably you kind of feel better.
You do feel better. Shel, you want to comment on all that? What we're giving away to people on a daily basis? We're going to give us your final thoughts. I'll come back to you, Madeline, for final thoughts. So while we're at you, Shel, just kind of wrap up what you want to say here.
My final thoughts.
Your profound thoughts here.
Mean people suck. Just laugh, you know? Have a good time.
Right.
Be accepting of the people around you.
Yes.
And I gave everyone homework. Seriously.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Whether it's the person at the store, you know, the cashier, if it's the person you work with, if it's your mean boss, and we all have one of those usually, you know, I just challenge you to say something nice to them.
Yes.
Or, you know, respond with kindness, a smile.
Right.
That'll take them aback.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what you give out, you know, what you give, it comes back to you. And that's the principle, you know, with our finances, but also with these kinds of attitudes that we're talking about today. And remember, you're the equipment, you know, so you don't need to pull out your Bible and start preaching at them.
No.
You know, it's the love of God in you that radiates to those people, and they feel that
love.
You can
just minister in small ways, you know.
Yes.
Maybe someone wants a soda.
Right.
Maybe they're short a quarter.
I remember with our dear Jeannie, who went to be with the Lord a few weeks back, that you would do that. You would go to the hospital show, and you would read the word to her. You would just talk to her and just listen to her life stories, which were fascinating, weren't they? But you did that, to say the least. But you did that just out of sheer love for her, and she never forgot it.
She gave back to me just as
she gave back to you.
It made me feel good going to see her, too.
And I tell you, there wasn't a dry eye at her funeral when you got up and gave your tribute, because it was incredible. Madeline, final words.
I would say I'm going to think this week about, you know, creating more moments, you know, just paying attention and being, you know, conscious of people. Especially, you know, just like we said before, in your own area, people you see every day that you don't even know, but you see them every day. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. That's crazy that we don't. That's going to be my homework to myself, is to just, you know, be conscious and be aware. And I'm going to recommend everybody, they get themselves an incredible little dog like Milo, because this guy has softened my heart.
Oh, he is a sweetheart.
And just has made me pay more attention to things in general, because I'm just so aware of the moments that I have with him that are unbelievable. Because I just see God in him.
Absolutely.
I really do. He's God's creature.
Amen.
And he's letting me take care of him for a while.
Isn't that wonderful?
Know? And I can't say enough.
And our dear Carol Maxine lost Tuttle J this week, actually yesterday, I believe. And one of their, what used to be 8 boxers, and I think now they're down to 3. So they've lost 3 or 4 in the last year. So it's been a hard time. So y'all out there can be praying for them. Carol's one of our radio team, and Maxine is our webmaster for Beacon of Hope Ministries. And they're a vital part of the ministry, even though they live in Georgia. So we just reach out to them with comfort and strength and hope, too. And it's a blessing to be able to chat like this, isn't it? I mean, what a joy to be able to do this. Shell, you have survived your second radio show. How cool is that,
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. And we decided today that we're going to do something special on our anniversary Sunday. For all of you out there, Beacon of Hope Ministries will be 10 years old on October the 9th. And that weekend on Friday night will be a great time of praise celebration. A lot of music at Beacon of Hope Friday night. October 7th will be a special celebration. And then on Sunday morning, a great service followed by a family dinner. And then we're going to do some crazy things here in the studio that day. Not sure what all we're going to do, but the crazy thoughts are coming. So we shall see. It will be fun. October 7th, 8th, and 9th is anniversary weekend at Beacon of Hope. 10 years as a ministry, and that's really cool. And almost, we're in our 5th year on the radio. So God has done so many wonderful things. We welcome you to Beacon if you're in the area. Or if you're not in the area, you can catch us, of course, any shows. There's back about a year and a half on our website now. And we have a lot of capacity on our website to hold all these. So it's really cool. So you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and find some of the old shows. And we title them so you can kind of get an idea who was on the show that day and what the subject was. So you can go to our website and catch some of the old shows. It's a great way to learn the Word and to get encouraged in the Word of God. A lot of fun. Don't forget our prayer team and the fact that we have this prayer chain that runs actually different parts of the world. You can be on that, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to be on the prayer team, you don't have to come to Beacon of Hope to be on the prayer team. Just write a little note to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and Alice, our prayer general, will get you on the prayer team. And when you have a request or know somebody, a friend or somebody that needs prayer, you just write a quick little email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and that prayer will go out to the prayer team, and it will be prayed for. And believe me, the praise reports are incredible and wonderful and a blessing to each of us. There were so many praise reports even this morning. It was cool to hear all the answers. And we do that a lot on Wednesday night, too. So if you're in the area, we encourage you to join us on Wednesday night. Prayer meeting starts at 6:15, and it's great. And Bible study at 7. I'm Pastor Marcia. I'm not even sure who I am. I've been talking all day long. Wackadoodle. I can't even say my name. Pastor Marcia McAllister at Beacon of Hope Ministries with Madeline and Shell and Connie today, and it's sure been fun. And as always, Engineer Bill has done a great job, and we give him applesauce, don't we? There you go. There we go. And the drum roll for Madeline. All right. It's been great. God bless you. We'll be here live next Sunday, 4 o'clock. I'll be in this chair. Where will you be? We want you to join us on Living the Good Life. God bless you. Have a great week. If we can help you, you can email me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and I will answer you. God bless you. Have a great week. It's enough.